Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationedmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
We're going to go through a story. It comes out of Genesis 17:22. We're going to talk out of Genesis 17:22 today. And it's all about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, they wanted to have a kid. They were believing God for a kid. And this is a story all about how Abraham's and Sarah's life got flipped, turned upside down. I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how Abraham became the father of Isaac and Ishmael. Anyways, that was a mouthful. And Fresh Prince fans out there, I am as well. But Abraham and Sarah are, Abraham's 100 years old and his wife Sarah is 90 years old and Sarah is not able to have kids. And she blames God for the fact that she's not able to have kids. In fact, it says in the text that the Lord has prevented me from having children. So she's blaming God for her lack. And sometimes we do that in our world today. We blame God for things that maybe he didn't do, but there's something we wanted and we maybe blame God for it. So Sarah does that, and she doesn't have faith that God can make this miracle happen for her. So she comes up with her own plan, right? So she tells her husband, Abraham, she says, you know what? I'm 90 years old. I'm not going to be able to have a kid. So I have a plan. Take one of my servants. You're going to take my servant, Hagar. And this might not be biblically correct, but as I was reading it, and I thought of she was coming up with this plan, Abraham was willing to do this plan because, she says, you're going to sleep with Hagar and you're going to have a kid with Hagar. As I was reading it, I thought, man, Hagar must have been the most unattractive one of her servants. I mean, think about it. You're like, if this is what I'm doing, I'm not going to let this little bugger enjoy this. Anyways, that's just what I thought of. Hagar must have been unattractive. But terrible, sorry. That's just... So she comes up with this plan. She says, okay, you're going to take my servant Hagar and you're going to sleep with Hagar and we're going to have a kid that way. And so Abraham does this. He sleeps with Hagar. And Hagar gets pregnant and all of a sudden things aren't going so well. Surprise, surprise. They come up with this stupid plan and things aren't going so well. And in the middle of this dumb plan to have a kid with somebody else, instead of staying faithful to each other and believing God for the kid that they wanted, God promises Abraham an amazing future. So in the middle of this mess, God promises Abraham an amazing future. And I'll tell you something, even if things don't look great, God's still got a plan for you. Even if you've messed up, even if you've created a little bit of a mess in your life, God's still got a good plan for you. Even in the middle of this mess, he had a, not meth, it wasn't Breaking Bad back in the Bible days. But even in the middle of this mess, God still had a great plan for Abraham. And in the text it says, serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant to you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. And God's promise to Abraham is, I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I'll make you the father of a multitude of nations. And Sarah is given her own promise. He says to Abraham, he says, I will bless her and give you a son from her. So Abraham bowed down to the ground, it says in the text. Abraham bowed down to the ground, but he also laughed. So he's bowing down, worshiping God, but he also laughed to himself in disbelief. Like, how many of you know we can be worshiping God on Sunday but not believing his plan for our life, through the rest of our life? We can be bowing down, we can be worshiping God, we can be honoring God with our life, but still not believing that he has an amazing plan for us. And that's what Abraham was doing in this text. He bows down to the ground, but he laughs in disbelief. And he questions God. How can Sarah have a baby when she's 90 years old? How can Sarah, how can you do this, God? And then he tries to force his plan onto God. He says, may Ishmael live under your blessing. So the baby he has with Hagar, his name is Ishmael. So Abraham says, hey God, I came up with my own plan. Okay, why don't you bless that one? He says, may Ishmael live under your blessing. And we do that, don't we, sometimes? We go and do it, we come up with our own plan, we kind of figure out life, how we think our life should look, and we say, God, why don't you bless this? I've already done this, it's right here, come on, just do this. And God says, I'm still gonna bless you, and what you've I'm still going to bless what you've done. So I'm still going to bless Ishmael, but I have something better for you. Right. As for Ishmael, it says in the text, as for Ishmael, I will bless him also just as you've asked. I will make him extremely fruitful and multiply his descendants. He will become the father of 12 princes and I will make him a great nation. And then all of a sudden, so he's saying, hey, I'm going to bless Ishmael, but I still have something better for you. So all of a sudden, these three men show up to where Abraham and Sarah live. And they say to Abraham, this time next year, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Now Sarah overhears this and says, how could a worn out woman like me enjoy such a pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old? You know, if you want to get your husband to get something done, just suggest that he's too old to do whatever it is you want done. That's just a life hack for you, ladies. I'll fix the car. Yeah, I think you're a little old for that. He'll be out in the garage so quick, proving you wrong. But she's doubting the power of God. And then God confirms his plan again. He says, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? I love this part. This is Genesis 18:14. He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year and Sarah will have a son. And God keeps his word. And the Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. And this happened just at the time that God said it would. I have given Abraham a child in his old age. And then God decides he's gonna test Abraham's faith yet again. And sometimes God needs to test our faith for us, right? God needs to flex his muscles just to show us how good he is sometimes. You know what I mean? So sometimes God's gonna test our faith, right? Just to show us, just to prove himself to us. So he goes and he says to Abraham, take your son, your only son. It's interesting that he calls him his only son. Yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. So Abraham obeys, but why was Abraham so willing to do this? Well, Abraham grew up in a pagan background. And in a pagan background, they would offer their children as sacrifices to their gods when they needed something, when they were in great need. This is just what they did. So this is what Abraham grew up around. So he's like, okay, I guess God, all these other gods that I grew up with, these pagan gods, this is how they did things. So he's just assuming that this God is the same thing. And as he's in the act, in the middle of killing his son, he's in the act, God provides in the last minute. And how many people know that God sometimes just provides in the last minute because he's growing our faith, he's stretching us, he's saying, come on, I need you to trust me. God provides in the last minute as Abraham is in the act of killing his son. He says, don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Don't hurt him in any way. For now I know you truly fear God. God's showing how good he is. He's like, I'm not like those pagan gods that you grew up around. I'm a good God. I don't need this to happen, right? You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I swear to you by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And through your descendants, all nations of the earth will be blessed. All because you have obeyed me. See, the God he served is the God we serve. And man, that's a good God. He doesn't need us to do these weird things like kill our children to prove ourselves to him. Sometimes he's testing our faith, but in the last minute, he always provides. And the question I want to ask you this morning is, if God can use this guy with this pagan background, this guy that slept with someone who was not his wife, came up with his old plan, his own plan, if God can use Abraham like this to be the father of many nations, what can God do through you? Right? If God can use this messed up guy, Abraham, who's coming up with his own plan, his own way of living, what can God do through you? And I believe, man, God wants to do some amazing things in 2018 through some people that are sitting in the room today. Man, I just believe that God has a plan for your life. No matter how you've seen yourself, no matter what your situation looks like right now, I just believe that God's got a plan for you in 2018. And I've said before, and every time I have the honor of putting a message together, I always think and I read a story, and I always think, okay, every good pastor makes people repeat something after them, which I'm not going to do today. What the heck? But they also, every good pastor can find 4 points in every story, no matter what it is, no matter, you know, that exit sign right there, I could find 4 points in that if I had to. And every good pastor has to, that's a skill you have to learn. But as I tried to force that rule onto this story, I didn't come up with 4 points. I came up with 4 questions that I think that we need to ask ourselves. 4 questions that we need to ask ourselves from Genesis 17 to 22, this story of Abraham. Question number one today. Question number one is, what is your Ishmael? What is your Ishmael? And it kind of almost sounds like somebody's mad at you. What's your Ishmael? Come on, man. What is your Ishmael? What is the plan, the idea, or the situation that you might be holding on to that isn't what God wanted for your life? What's that thing that you're hanging on to that you're saying, God, use this, bless this, but God's saying, I never intended for that to be in your life in the first place. You put that there. That was your decision. That was something you came up with. Man, maybe it's a line of work that you're like, I have to do this. Maybe it's certain possessions that you're like, I only have so many days on this earth. I have to own that. I have to do that. Maybe it's certain trips that you want to go on. Maybe it's a financial. Maybe it's a place in your life that you want to be financially that God's saying, I know that sounds good, but I have something better. Maybe it's a promotion that your eyes are set on this promotion. It's the only thing you think is going to make you happy. Man, maybe it's a girl. Maybe, guys, you're sitting there and you're like, you know, in worship today, you're watching her with her hands up and you're like, come on now. That's, my eyes are fixed on you, even though the song says fixed on him. You're like, I want to be close to you. That's not what that song means. Stop it. Stop it. Maybe it's a guy that, I don't know, maybe it's a guy that you're like, man, I gotta have him. Maybe it's an expectation. Maybe it's an expectation that you don't qualify for. Maybe it's something that you're looking at and God's saying, no, I didn't give you the gift for that. I gave you the gift for this over here, but your eyes are fixed on this and you're so frustrated with God. Why isn't this working out? And God's saying, that's an expectation that you have that, quite frankly, you don't qualify for. I didn't put those gifts in your life. See, life isn't over because you have an Ishmael around. It's not like God can't use you because there's an Ishmael around. And I just believe that, you know, it's not over because you made the wrong decision, and God can still bless your Ishmael, but he also has an Isaac for you. He also has another promise that's going to fit a lot better, a promise that's going to build your faith, a promise that's going to take you to places that you never believed that you could go. He's got an Isaac for you. See, even though Ishmael was still around, Ishmael wasn't going anywhere, and God even would still bless Ishmael, he's saying, man, Isaac's on the way. I'm still providing Isaac for you. And that's the thing about our God. He's so good that even though Ishmael is around, even though Abraham made this wrong decision, he still blessed Abraham with Isaac. And Ishmael was Abraham's plan that he tried to force on God. But Isaac was God's plan that Abraham needed to have faith for. Right. See, what's the plan that you've made that you haven't included God in? That you're expecting him to bless. And you're saying, God, I read the Bible. It says you're going to give me the desires of my heart. And God's saying, well, the desires of your heart need to be different. Have you ever had a change of heart? You ever been dating somebody and it's like, ugh. How did I not see that? They say love is blind. Sometimes I wish it wouldn't. I wish it wasn't. Anyways, But have you ever had a change of heart? Maybe you need to have a change of heart. And if God isn't giving you the desires of your heart, maybe it's because you need a new desire. Like if God isn't giving you the desires of your heart, maybe you do need to keep having more faith. Maybe it is just more faith, but maybe it's just that you need a new desire. Whatever it is, just remember that God's not a MasterCard for impulse desires, right? He's not just a God to just say, hey, you want that? I got it for you. That's not what giving you the desires of your heart is all about. And man, maybe you just need to ask him for a change of heart today. Be patient. Don't get frustrated. His plan will work for you, not yours for him. I want to ask you that question again this morning. What is your Ishmael? What's your Ishmael? Question number two this morning, I want to ask you, after what is your Ishmael, what's your Isaac? What is your Isaac, okay? What's that plan, the direction, that need, the want in your life that you're not even believing God for yet? You didn't even have enough faith to even start believing for it. That thing that if someone told you it was going to happen to you, you'd just laugh like Sarah did, right? As soon as Sarah hears, hey, you're going to have a son, 90 years of age, you're going to have a son. She just laughs like, no, it's not going to happen for me. Have you seen my husband? He's 100 years old. What's that thing that if someone told you it was going to happen to you, you'd laugh because you just think it's so far out. Maybe it's something that popped into your mind at one point. That it just popped into your mind really quick at one point in your life, but you thought, no, that's not for me. That can't happen. Maybe it's that someone told you you can't have a baby. And so it's never been on the radar. Kids haven't even been on the radar for you because you're just like, I don't think it's for me. Or maybe you just saw examples growing up and you just thought, kids are not for me. That's not in my DNA. Maybe you just think you can never find a job that you could enjoy. I know people like this that just, they literally just think, hey, 9 to 5, I have to make money. I'm never going to enjoy it. And God's saying, man, I put you on this earth. You're going to have to work for 40 years. You might as well enjoy that, right? Like there's people who just flat out believe and they believe they're too old to switch careers. They believe they're too old. You know, they believe it's already past them. They didn't find the right thing. And they're just miserable day to day because they couldn't find a job that they loved. Man, maybe you thought you could never get out of debt. Have you ever heard people? I've heard people talk like this, that man, just the way our world is set up, it's just set up for debt. Like, maybe you believe that. I'm telling you right now, I do not believe that for my life. I do not believe that for my life, that I'm just like, I'm just always going to have debt. That's a terrible way to think. Man, maybe your Isaac is just believing that, God, I know that right now this is what my situation looks like, but in 2018, I'm at least going to deal with one of those credit cards. Like, I just believe that for your life, that God wants you to have freedom. He doesn't want you to be, you know, in bondage to that debt, and just believe that, hey, there's a better life for you in that. Maybe it's owning a house. Maybe you just thought, man, the government keeps changing these rules. I'm never going to own a house. If you want to believe that, just move to Vancouver. Edmonton, anything is possible. This is God's country. Hallelujah. Maybe it's a family member you thought would never come to Christ. Like maybe you've been a Christian for 10, 20, 30, 50 years, and you're like, my dad is never going to come around. You're like, my stepdad's never going to set foot on this place. You're saying, my grandpa's never going to come around. Maybe that's the Isaac for you. Maybe it's a family member that you're just like, God, you don't even think about that person because you just think it's so far off that it almost makes you laugh when I say that. Yeah, you don't know my family. You don't know this person. You don't know what they've been through. Maybe that's the Isaac for you. Maybe there's a reason it's so far off because God's going to build your faith through their coming to Christ. And maybe it's education. I don't even know if I spelled education right in my message. But maybe it's that no one in your family has done that yet. Maybe you just think, no, there's no chance of it. It's not going to happen for me. High school is a nightmare. Like maybe it's education. I don't know what it is. But I do know that in Genesis 18:26, we ask a rhetorical question. We hear a rhetorical question asked. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Man, what's your Isaac today? And sometimes, in order to get our Isaac, sometimes we need to obey God, even when it makes absolutely no sense at all. Like a 90 and 100-year-old having sex. I mean, makes no sense at all. In fact, it's kind of gross. But, hey, they were obedient, eh? Sorry. It's getting too quiet in here. Nothing is too hard for God. And then, like, that makes no sense at all. But then for Abraham to hear, once Isaac's born, God tells him, go and sacrifice him? That makes no sense. Why would I have to believe for all these years to have this son, and I finally get this son, and then you're telling me I've got to kill him? That makes no sense at all, but he was still obedient. And Jesus mentions over and over in the Bible that in order for him to do the miracles, in order for him to do these amazing things that he did, it was all about Jesus, wasn't it? No. It wasn't all about Jesus. It was all about people. It was all about people's faith. Right? When he heals the centurion's servant in Matthew 8, he says, go back home because you believed. Because you believed. Right? Jesus made it very clear, because you believed. He didn't say, you know, it's all about me. It's all about because I'm just this God and this is what I can do. He didn't make it about himself. He says it's because of your faith. In Matthew 9:22, when the woman reaches out and says, if I could just touch your garment, I would be healed. What does he say? Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. You see, faith moves God to move on your behalf. Faith moves God to move on your behalf. Jesus is very clear that his promises are achieved through our own faith. Faith moves God to move on your behalf. What is it that you need to be bold enough to believe for? What's that thing that maybe it makes you laugh now? You think it's so far away. But you need to be bold and believe for it. What is the Isaac in your life? What is the Isaac in your life? And I tell you what, this message is preaching to me just as much as it's preaching to anyone. Man, as we work through this message this week, I just believe in that this is a message for our church this year. Yeah. That, man, we're just believing that we're not done. We're just believing that we're not resting where we are. That when you drive around the city, there's still thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. And it doesn't matter how many churches we put up, it's still not enough. There still needs to be more. And no matter what pushback we get from the city or the government or whoever, we're still going to keep pushing forward. We're still going to believe, God, that there's more to come. We're still going to believe that our Isaac is out there. See, we could just sit here and believe that, oh, yeah, God, you've been good and this is great, but I just believe that we're believing for more. And as our pastor set in motion, you know, this year, that, man, we're gonna put up another building. We don't know what that looks like. You know, we don't know where we're going to meet, but we're going to have another church this year, and we're not done there. We're just getting started, because there's people in corners of the city that maybe wouldn't drive here, but if we were in their neighborhood and they saw our signs and they heard about us, they heard about the life change happening, they need a place like this to call home, and we're going to be in their neighborhood this year. The third question I want to ask you this morning is, what's the sacrifice you need to make? What is the sacrifice that you need to make? See, Abraham had to make a sacrifice. He was still, even when Isaac came, he was still believing to be the father of many nations. That was what he was promised, the father of many descendants. That was what he was promised earlier in the text. He was still believing to be the father of many nations, and God asked him to sacrifice. And often we want the promises of God without the sacrifice to make them happen. It's really often that we read something or we hear a message like this and we leave maybe encouraged, like, yeah, I want the promises of God in my life. But are we willing to make the sacrifice to make them happen? With every promise, there comes sacrifice, right? So if you're believing for a better marriage, maybe it's going to take some sacrifice, right, of maybe some work time, maybe some, you know, friends time that you always hang out with the boys. Maybe it's going to take you actually reading some books. And you're like, and I've heard this excuse, I'm not a reader. man, I am not a reader. If anything, I can almost guarantee you I read worse than you. Listen, I don't talk with a stutter, but somehow I read with a stutter, okay? Like, you don't understand. But in this day and age, like, you never heard of that before, have you? Well, you'd be surprised. But it's gonna take some sacrifice on your part. You stop saying, I don't read, and download an audiobook, because the miracle of technology today exists, and you can have a better marriage, right? You can put that effort in. Maybe it's your body. Maybe you're like, man, I need health. It's gonna take some sacrifice. You're gonna have to eat some nasty kale or something like that. That's real sacrifice beyond anything I've ever experienced in my life. Maybe it's that, like we talked before, maybe you do want to get out of debt. It's going to take some sacrifice. Maybe you'll also have to eat kale to get out of debt. I don't know. Well, we need to ask ourselves, God, what sacrifice is it that I need to make? Maybe you're not providing financially for me right now because I haven't even taken the step of faith to tithe and be obedient, even though it makes no sense, even though that maybe that would put my budget backwards, I still believe that tithing should come first. And if I was put in that place 100%, tithing would come first. That's the thing, that it just takes faith, even though it doesn't make any sense. Even though if your financial advisor, you know, heard that, they'd be like, you're an idiot. But it's still, it takes that faith. Maybe it's time. Maybe you're like, I don't have the time, but God's saying, make the time. Make a sacrifice. Maybe it's just brain space. Maybe you've just been given brain space to something else. Maybe you leave work at 5 o'clock every day, but you're there until 9 o'clock every day in your mind. Maybe you just need to make a sacrifice that I'm not gonna have my head there. Maybe it's a relationship that you thought was dead, but God's saying, sacrifice for it. Even though you have no passion towards this thing, you can still sacrifice for it. And we don't need to understand everything in order to be obedient. We don't need to understand to be obedient. You think Abraham understood? They're like, okay, let's go kill him. I'm sure I know this is the plan. It'll all be good. I'll kill him. I'll be the father of many nations. No, it doesn't make any sense. But he still was obedient, even though he didn't understand. Abraham holds Isaac with an open hand. And then God sees this, and he knows Abraham can be trusted. He knows he can bless Abraham with more. What is it that you need to hold with an open hand? And see, when Abraham did this, it opened the door for generation after generation to be blessed, right? And great blessing is just around the corner from great sacrifice. Great blessing is just around the corner from great sacrifice. That third question I asked today is, what sacrifice do you need to make? What sacrifice do I need to make? I started asking myself this question as writing this week. What sacrifice do I need to make in order for Isaac to show up in my life? And I just believe it will. The fourth question I want to ask you this morning, the fourth and final question this morning is, what is your this time next year? So those three men came and they said, this time next year we'll return and you'll have the son that God's promised you. What is it that today you need to decide? This is going to be different this time next year. What is your this time next year? And here's the thing about that. This time next year, that means action today. Man, that literally means action today. It literally means that maybe when you go for lunch after this service, maybe when you go to sleep tonight, maybe on your date night this week with your wife, you need to talk about what's the action we need to make in order for something to be different this time next year, in order for our life to be better, in order to do more for God, in order to accomplish what we're on this earth to accomplish, in order to do that, what action do we need to take today that's gonna change our this time next year? See, if you're in the room and you're not dead, check your neighbor, make sure they're not dead as we go on. If you're in the room, is everyone's neighbor alive in the room today? Okay, good, we don't have a weekend at Bernie's church going on. Is that what it's called, Weekend at Bernie's? I think it's the movie where they bring the dead guy. Is that what it's called? Okay. If you're in the room today and you're not dead, you're young enough to make a difference for God. It's not over. You haven't missed it. It's not for your kids. It's not for the youth group, to, you know, just them. It's for everyone. If you're in the room today, You're still young enough to make a difference for God. You got to have the faith for that, but you also have to have the action for that. You also have to take action steps. Because here's the thing, it's really easy to answer God with your mouth. And it's really easy to sit in a service like this and say, yes, God, I'm believing for this, I'm believing for that. Really easy to answer God with your mouth. It's a whole lot harder to answer him with your actions. But that's the thing that makes the difference. It's easy to answer God with your mouth, but can you do it with your actions? What we need to decide today is what's going to be different this time next year. And what's the Ishmael I'm giving too much time to? What's the Isaac that I'm not giving enough faith, enough action for? What's the sacrifice I need to make? I mean, how many people are in the room and you're believing for something? You don't have to put your hand up. But how many people are in the room and you're believing for something that you were believing for in 2014? That maybe was a resolution of 2014. I know I am. I know there's things that I said that was going to happen in 2014 that haven't happened today. And that's the thing. We go through life like this. I have a friend like this. Like I see him like one or two times a year. And for the last 5 years, every time I see him, he's told me the exact same thing he wants to change in his life. The exact same things need to change in his life. And it's still not happening. Because he hasn't put any action to it. And by February 1st, so Thursday, 80% of New Year's resolutions would have been dropped. 80%. And only, this is wild. And this is from the internet, so you know it's true. 8% of people complete their New Year's resolutions. 8%. And man, I just think we can be a church full of that 8%. I just believe that, man, you know, that might be the true statement for everybody outside these doors, but as far as this church, as far as people who of God, people who are children of God, man, we're going to be part of that 8% that get these things done, that achieve these things. What are you believing for that needs to change? In your action, it might be financial. It might be putting a budget in place. It might be actually sticking to a budget. It might be physical. It might be a relationship with your spouse that you just need to give more time to. I don't know what it is, but you need to decide what is going to be different this time next year. What is going to be different this time next year? And when we start asking ourselves the right questions, God will reveal where we're going to be the father of many nations, right? God will reveal where Isaac is going to come into our lives. When we start asking ourselves the right questions, I love that. In Genesis 18, 14. The question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? What action do I need to take? What is going to be different this time next year? Man, maybe you're in the room today and you're sitting here and you're like, man, this might be my first Sunday in church. Maybe it's my 100th time in church. But I still know that I haven't made the action step of really following Christ, really following Jesus. Maybe 2018 you decided that my resolution this year was going to, you know, take church more serious, take God more serious. I just think we need to take an action step today and we need to pray together that this can be your year. And maybe it's something that you just feel like you haven't really given God your full heart. I just believe that today we can take an action step to say, yeah, this is the beginning. This is the beginning for you, and you're not going to look back. You're going to keep making action steps, and that's the thing. You have to make one big action step, but then keep doing it, 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 and to a point where you get to a place where you're like, man, I can't believe that's what I looked like this time last year, right? But what is your this time next year? You can go ahead and stand this morning, and you go ahead and just close your eyes, and we're going to pray together. First, we're going to pray two prayers. First, I just want to pray for you that you'd be bold enough to just believe God for whatever it is, whatever Isaac is in your life. And that I just believe that, man, every person in this room can have a better life this time next year. Let's just bow our heads right now. Lord God, I just thank you so much for, God, every person in this room, Lord God. I don't know what they're all believing for. This is going to look different for every single person, but God, we just believe that this time next year, something's going to look different. God, we just thank you for the faith, God, to make action steps towards what you need us to do, Lord God, what you want us to do. And God, I just thank you that, God, you have a purpose for all of us, Lord Jesus. We just thank you that, God, there's a reason we're all put on this earth, Lord God. And I just pray we'd be working towards achieving that, Lord God. Working towards, God, just making your name known. God, working towards making our city a better place, Lord God, for you, Lord God. And working towards making you famous, Lord God. Just making people realize how good you are, that you're the one and only God, that you're the merciful God, that you're the good God, Lord God. We just thank you that, man, people are going to have a better life because they know us and because we know you. And God, I just pray for the people in the room right now, God, who are on the edge of believing, the edge of believing in you, the edge of giving their lives to you. And right now, we're gonna pray a prayer together. And I'm gonna ask you to repeat after me. And I'm just gonna ask that everybody in the room would also repeat it as well. But if you're in the room this morning and, man, you wanna make the decision to give God your heart, you wanna make the decision to say, God, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, I wanna live for you from now on. If you're in this room this morning and you wanna pray that prayer, I would love to pray that prayer with you. I just ask you really quick, right now, to slip up your hand so I know who I'm praying with. Right now, you can just slip up your hand. If you're just making the decision today that, man, you want to live for God from now on, awesome, awesome. Great. You can put your hand down and let's pray together. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Today I decide to give you my life, to give you my heart. I'm living for you from now on. Forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.